She calls it Message. She loves to get up and just hit it hard. So that's my daughter. So let's pray and get recentered and refocused. Oh, by the way, my name's Jeff. If you don't recognize me, I'm Jeff. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And God, there's so much craziness going on in our world. And we don't know what to believe. We really don't. Every day, something changes. Every day, something's different. Every day, some new craziness happens around us. And so, God, help us just to lean on you. You're the firm foundation. All this other stuff is just sinking sand. There's nothing solid about anything in our culture, in our world today. Just you. And so, God, we want to press into you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to echo what Dave said, and I think Dave hit on a really good point today when he said this. You know, looking around, this has nothing to do with the message, by the way. You're getting this for free. So the idea that everything around us is crazy. I got to thinking about this last 6 weeks. I'm like, this Afghanistan thing, the COVID coming back and roaring around, and you hear young people dying, and it's just like, wow, this is just crazy. And I got to thinking about when I was a young boy, I was in the early, our late 60s and early 70s. It was a crazy time, too. I remember the president's getting shot. I remember everybody that was important seemed to be getting killed, and they were killing people. And we were pulling out of a place called Saigon, and I didn't understand any of that. And it all seemed crazy, and I thought, well, our world is nuts, but mom and dad are okay, and God is taking care of me, and I've got food, and I guess I'll be okay. And I guess the thing I want to say to you with all the developments of this last week is that don't look to the news for the things that are going to bring you comfort. Look to each other. Look for ways to bring comfort and peace. Look for ways to serve each other. Look for ways. There are so many good people in this world. And all we hear about is the bad people. All we hear about is the negative. All we hear about is somebody shooting somebody. All we hear about is some dumb politician. All we hear about is all these things. And what we do is we get fixated on those things, and we begin to think that everything is bad, and not everything is bad. There are tons and tons of really great people in this world. So I challenge you, and it's cyclical. If things go until Jesus comes back, this kind of stuff is going to happen. And you're like, I don't know who to believe. I didn't know who to believe back in the 70s. I had no idea who to believe. I just trusted God, and I trusted my parents, and I looked for the people in my life that were going to bring peace and surety in my life. So I encourage you to do that too. Thank you, Dave, for tipping my scale on that this morning, because that really brings good comfort to me. We're in a series called Guardrails, and I did this series back in 2015, 2016. I did two parts of it, four one time and then four another. And so this time I'm going to do the four best ones from that, and then I'm going to do three or four new guardrails that I want to share with you about that. And we'll talk about what a guardrail is, because some of you are thinking I'm talking about those things that you see in the medium or bridges or on curves, and I am. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you need to establish those things in your life that are solid, that stay there, that can catch you, that prevent you from going over a cliff, that prevent you from going into the meeting, that prevent you from going places that you should never, ever, ever go. We have one scripture we're going to look up today. You want to turn to Proverbs, hold that, and I'm going to get in it, and I'm just going to beat that scripture to death today, because it's where we're going to land, it's where we're going to live today. So hold on to that. So a guardrail, in the sense that I'm talking about today, is this. It's a system designed to keep a vehicle from straying into a dangerous area where it shouldn't go. So last week, we began to ask the question, what would it look like to have a guardrail in our life, in different areas of our life? What would it look like to help us from getting into trouble, from going where we shouldn't go? So we came up with our own definition of what a guardrail is as it relates to this particular discussion that we're going to have today about you need a guardrail. You need a guardrail in your life. And you often think about guardrails never. I mean, until what? Until you need them. And then when you need them, you go, oh, I was really glad that was there. So glad that was there. I saw two accidents this week on 465 coming back from different places I were, and both of them were over in the guardrails, and the guardrails seemed to have careened them back and kept them from falling over. So they work. Guardrails work. So I came up with a definition for a spiritual part of this today. And what is a definition? It's a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. It becomes who you are. It's this personal standard of behavior. It becomes who you are. That's as far as I'm going to take this. That's as far as I'm going to go. Our culture hates guardrails. Our culture hates rules. Our culture hates standards. Just do you. That's our culture. Now today is I want to talk about one specific area. And it's an area that we don't often talk about in church. In fact, I didn't do this the last time. I didn't even talk about this one in the last series. So you're saying I'm not getting something that I heard before. I want to talk about your friendships. Friendships are so important. Friendships can make you or they can break you. Friendships were meant. God gave us friendships. He wanted us to have friendships. And at a very early age, friendships can define you, and they can get you in a specific group of people, and you can stay in that group of people till the day you die. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not good. And so primarily when we talk about friendships, most of us in this room that are between the ages of, if you're 12 to about 50, you struggle a lot with friendships. You struggle. Now you say, well, what happens after you're 50? Well, you figure it out. You figure it out that you may only have one good friend, or you may be going, I don't have any friends. I need some friends. I want some friends, and I don't have any. And maybe you've set up some guardrails, and you can't find anybody else that has like precious guardrails as you do. And so you can't do that. Or your friends just, you know, they do their thing and you do your thing. But from 12 to about 50, friendships are so important. They're important because they shape you, they mold you. And I taught this very, the last part of this lesson at a convention I did several years ago, Indiana Christian Youth Convention, to about 500 teens. And because I think every teenager, every kid needs to think about having these guardrails when it comes to your friendships, because your friendships are so important. Your friendships can be so good, they can be so bad. They can hurt you, and they can hurt you bad. All of us had parents who said when we were younger, you can't go to that person's house and you can't spend the night. And we're like, but why? They're great parents. They let me do whatever I want to do. And they're never, well, that you just answered your question, son. Yeah, that's why you're not, because I've got a standard. I've got a guard. This is what I want you to do, and you're not going to get to do it. When you get older, you can do it. But now, you're under my rule. You're in my box, and you're going to play by my rules. If you grew up with those kinds of parents, it's really easy today to see many parents not have standards in their lives and with their kids. And just let their kids go to anybody's house. Don't know who they are. Just go. Because why? Because Junior wants to go. Missy wants to go. So Missy gets what Missy wants, and I'll let her go. Don't figure out who the parents are, where they come from, what they're about, what their kids do. Just go. Have a good time. That needs a guardrail, folks. You see, the very thing that makes friendships so great, because they are great when they're working, man, they are great, is the very thing that makes friendships bad and hurtful. When I'm with a friend, what happens is I drop my guard. It doesn't matter what age you are. You know, most of you maybe you go out for a drink or something with some people, and you immediately, when you're sitting around a table and you're eating and you're drinking, what happens is your guard just goes, just falls down, because this is a very intimate place. And what you do is when you let other people around you to eat and to drink, you just kind of, there's an acceptance that happens. And it happens when we're younger. And so the big idea that I want to start with today is this, is that acceptance always leads to influence. It always leads to influence. If you accept me, you can now influence me. And you can influence me well, or you can influence me not so well. So I'm open to the influence of other people around me. And what I do is I close down and I say, none of us like to be rejected. We don't want to be rejected. So when we're in that friend group, what happens is we do whatever the friends are doing because I don't want to be rejected. I want to be accepted. I want you to like me because I like you. It's nice to be with you. I enjoy you. So oftentimes I'll act or say or do things that are not in my core value of things, that are not in my guardrail system. I will move guardrails, and I will allow them to go to other places. My first cigarette was with 13-year-olds, a bunch of 13-year-olds. We puffed on. I hated them, but I did it because the other 13. My first drink was at a camp out, 14 years old, sitting around a campfire. Want some of this? Yeah, why not? The thing that makes friendships so great is the thing that makes friendships so hard, because then we have regrets when we do these things because we know we shouldn't. It's in our core. It's in who we are. Our parents have put in us these things, and they're not yet a guardrail, but they're warnings, and we go, I shouldn't, but I want to because you're my friend, and I want to have acceptance with you. The wisest man in the Bible, Solomon, says in this one verse, a power-packed thing that I want to tear apart this morning with you, and I want to send you home with it, because sometimes we get like 10 or 12 verses and we get all, oh, I don't know what to do. One verse, Proverbs 13:20. Listen to what Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, not just me saying that, everybody said Solomon was wise, said this: walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm, but a companion of fools will eventually suffer harm. See, there's a warning and there's a promise in that verse from Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible. Warning and a promise. According to the scripture, a wise person, according to Solomon, is a person who understands that all of life is connected. Now follow along with me. Don't check out on this, because this is the pivotal point by which I'm going to build everything I want to talk to you about the next 10 minutes in. Everything is connected. And if you do not think that all of life is connected, what you do is you become disconnected from tomorrow. And you're only connected to today. So if you're only connected today, all you do is feel today. All you do is think about the today that you're in. And for many, the today that they're in is very, very painful. It's very hurtful, very lonely, very sad, sad place. Solomon promised that wisdom is contagious. Now, according to the scripture, a wise person is a person who understands that it's contagious. It's easy to see today why so many kids are killing themselves. It's so easy though why people walk into a place and they take a gun and they. It's so easy to understand why people go into the different places that they go today and kill other people, because they're disconnected from tomorrow. They're only connected to today. Their pain is connected to, I am overwhelmed with this situation, and all I want to do is get out of it. Don't care about tomorrow, but there is a tomorrow. Don't care about it. It's easy to see why these things happen. I'm in pain now. I'm in pain now, and I can't face tomorrow. All I can face is today, and the best way to do it is just to stop it. Whew. That's hurtful. That's painful. And you look around and you wonder why people are doing that. This is the reason they're disconnected from tomorrow. They're disconnected from their friends. They're disconnected from their parents. They don't care about anything except your pain. And oftentimes, that happens no matter what age you are. Because all you care about is your pain. All you care about is, today I don't want to be in this anymore. We take no thought for tomorrow. It's little things like, hey, we'll go out and buy something we can't afford because today it makes me feel really good. I'm going to really pay for it in 6 months, you know, when the 0% ends. I'm really going to pay for it then. Oh, yeah. Buy now, pay later. See, it's that type of thought. Life is connected, church. It's connected. Your friendships, everything. And if you're not connected, if you disconnect, you miss what God has intended for your life. Solomon says that's a promise. But here's the warning. Here's the warning. The warning is not if you're a companion of fools, you become a fool. Okay, listen to me. It's not if you hang out with fools, you're going to become a fool. He doesn't say that. This is where we get tripped up because we assume that if I spend time with the wise, then I'll become wise because that's a promise. But if I spend times with fools, I won't become a fool. No, that's what he said. That's not what Solomon teaches. Somebody get that. They need you. You got it? All right. The warning is this in this verse, that the companion of fools, the person that does life with fools, listen, teenagers, you do life with fools is a person who you could spend your entire life with and you won't be a fool, but you could get the effects of their foolishness and it blows up on you. Can't tell you how many people I've buried that have been in a car riding with somebody else that weren't drunk. They weren't drunk. I won't participate in that. I'm not going to get drunk. I bury them. The drunk is sitting in the drunk tank. Ooh. See, the warning is the companion of fools is the person that does life with fools. You can't continue to hang with fools. If you continue to hang with fools, not you're going to be a fool. You're going to have some of the residual get off on you. People are going to think things about you because you're hanging out with a person who could care less. See the word, care less? They're careless? No, they could care less. That's what make a fool is. That's what a fool is somebody that cares less. Here's why it's important. How many of you have defended unhealthy relationships this way and said, I'll never do what they do. I'll never think what they think. I'll never participate in the things that they do. But I'll hang out with them. I'll hang out with them. This should scare you to death as a parent, and it should scare you to death as an adult. That, okay, you're not going to be a foolish person if you hang out with fools all the time. But you know what? You could get bombed right as they are going to get bombed too. All the residual that goes around that fool is coming after you too. I have friends that will never walk again, that were incredible people. And they thought this same thing. I'm not hanging out with that person. You know, I don't do what they do. I don't do drugs. But they're hanging out with them, and well, all of a sudden something horrible happens, and they're in the car. Here's what a fool is. The Bible says a fool is a person who knows the difference between right and wrong and doesn't care. Boy, that just talks about a lot of our folks today. A fool is asked, hey, doesn't that bother you? No, I'll work it out. You ever heard that from a fool? Yeah, we'll work it out. Proverbs 26:4 says it this way, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. You will be friends with somebody who cares less about your life and their own. You think if they don't care about their life, you think they care about your life? You think they care about good things happening with you? Heck to the no. They don't care about you at all. In fact, the Bible says, don't even try to correct a fool because they'll laugh at you. They don't care. You can't give a fool new information. You can't say to some fool who's getting ready to leave his four kids and his wife, you know what? You need to think about tomorrow. No, I don't. I want to get out of this. I'm done. I'm finished. You can't talk to a fool. You just can't. What Mr. T used to say? Mr. T, what did he say? I pity the fool. And some of you need to too. And you need to start thinking about some guardrails in your life. Because some of your posse, some of your amigos, some of your closest friends, they're even if they're 30, 40, 50, they're still foolish. They're fools. And they're acting like fools, and you're allowing yourself to continue to get sucked under into their stupidness. I want to suggest a couple guardrails today for you. There's five of them, and I taught them at that convention, and I want to teach them to you today. I borrowed them from different people over the years. I've come up with them myself, and I want to leave you with these. These, I have no scripture for them. I'm not going to try to give you scripture, but what I am going to tell you is these five areas are very important. If you ever want to write something down about friendships, write these things down. They're going to come up right on the thing there. They'll also be on our Facebook. They're there every week. My goal for you is that you recognize the danger that's out there and the pitfalls of friendship, and you establish some guardrails and say, I'm going to put some of these in my life, okay? Let's go through them. Right now, number one is this. Your conscience should light up when it dawns on you that your core group, that the people that you're doing life with isn't moving the direction that you want your life to move in. Usually, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know the trajectory of your life. You know where your life is headed. And if you have a group of people, of friends, that are headed away from Jesus, there's where you need a guardrail. And I'll address this in a minute because some of you are going to say, but aren't we supposed to hang out with people? Yes, yes. Let's talk about that. Here's your guardrail. When it dawns on you that these people that you're hanging with, they're going a totally different spiritual direction here, you better figure it out and put up a guardrail. Because as strong as you are and as determined as you are, I will never do that, the companions of fools eventually suffer harms, and that should concern you. That could just concern you really, really big. Here's another one, another guardrail. When you catch yourself pretending to be somebody other than that who you really are, you need a guardrail. If you're acting one way around this set of friends and another way around this set of friends, you need a guardrail. You need a guardrail. Some of you have been warned by your wives. Quit acting like a jerk around our friends. You're a different person around our friends. That's a sign. That's a sign that something's going on. Why do you have to be different? Why do you have to tell dirty jokes in a thing when you know that dirty jokes aren't something you should do, but you go right along with it, or you tell them, or you listen to it? I'll participate. You know, I'll go. I won't tell the jokes. I'll just listen to the jokes, and I'll laugh. That's funny. Okay. You might need a guardrail if you're a follower of Christ. Some of you have experienced this with your teens. They've been off school for the last couple of 3 months. And isn't it a phenomenon that happens with your kids that when they come home at summer, they're just naturally kind of real chill and relaxed and just fine, but the minute they go back to school, they start acting like their idiot friends. They come back and you go, what in the world happened? They don't listen to me. They don't want to be around me. They just, but during the summer, it's like, oh, there I got my teenager back. I know not everybody that happens to, but some of us it does. It's because of who they're hanging out with. And so you catch yourself being somebody that you know you're not. Number three, your conscience should light up when you feel pressure to compromise what you believe. When you feel compromised, pressure to compromise. Let me say it a different way. When we have a temptation that comes at us, we start to view it a different way, and we have these conversations in my head that are like, that wouldn't be so bad. Well, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? Nothing. You know, that won't be so bad. And we have these conversations inside of us. We begin to ask ourselves, and we begin to dumb down our conscience. We begin to withdraw from people who we used to agree with in terms of certain behavior or habits or lifestyles. And pretty soon, we now have a whole new friend group that agree totally with me. They're just like me. You don't need everybody just like you. You need some different friends in your life. You do. You do. That's a place for a guardrail. Number four. Your conscience should light up when you hear yourself saying, I'll go, but I won't participate. I'll go, but I won't participate. I'll just be around it. I'll just be in proximity of it. Here's Solomon's warning. In the danger zone, he says, is this. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is, Solomon would say, that's not the point. That's not the point that you don't even, you know, you can go and you can be around it. Because a companion of fools suffers harm. Because the fool suffers harm. You're just too close, and you never know when it's going to happen. Somebody was saying about, you know, I never thought about this until recently. I was in the ninth grade, and my friend, my next-door neighbor, if he's listening, I don't think he is, but his name's Brent Reilly, and he got a new car. It was a Chevy Nova. That sucker was fast, really, really fast. First day of school, he says, I'd like to drive. I says, okay, let's drive. You get in it, and we're doing 120 miles an hour going between Blooming Grove and Brookville. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. But I was a fool. I was a fool for riding in that car. I should have said, stop. I don't want to be in this car. Because you know what happened when he got back down to Brookville? He looked under his tire, and his tire had a bubble on it like this big. And we were blessed. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here because I hung out with a fool for a minute. I loved it. I loved hanging out with a fool. I loved going 120 miles an hour. It was incredible. But if that tire blowed, I'd be dead. Brent would be dead. His whole family. My family wouldn't be here. No Adam, no Brad, nobody. We wouldn't have been here. Because a companion, a fool's, you can't hang out with them. You just can't. It's going to blow up on you sometime. You never know when you're going to get busted. You never know when a tire is going to blow. You never know when you're going to get a little too drunk. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to participate. How many times have I heard that? That should be a wake-up call for Christ followers. You say, boy, Jeff, that's strict. Okay, it's guardrail. It's guardrail. Lastly, when you hope that the people around you that you care about most don't find out something you've been doing, that's where you need a guardrail. When the people that you care about, your grandma, your grandpa, your parents, teacher, coach, best friend, if you're having conversations in your head that you don't want them to find out, that's a signal that you need a guardrail. There's something on the inside of you that just kind of tenses up and you're going, I don't want them to think about it. I don't want them to know this. I don't want them to know that I did that. When you're already in your mind creating a defense, just in case you have to, in that conversation, that should bother you so much that you take a giant step back and you say, there is a place for a guardrail. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage every one of you in here to do that. Culture says it doesn't matter who you're with. Doesn't matter who you're with as long as you're not, you fill in the blank. As long as you're not doing that, both fill in the blank. No. So, Jeff, aren't we supposed to be friends with people who are fools? Yeah, we are. But they can't. We can't hang with them all the time. And if we find out they're fools, we probably need to move on because they could care less right now. You say, but I need to make them help care less. No, you're not going to do that. That's not you. That's God. That's God. I'm all about being, to go into the culture and rescue the culture. I'm all about helping people. Every day I want to help people that are needing help. I do. Aren't we supposed to have friends that are different from us? Yes. You've been attending this church for any longer than a couple days, you ought to know that I'm for you having all kinds of friends in all kinds of different phases of their life. But they can't be the people that you let your guard down in. They can't be the people that you have total acceptance of to the point where you do things that you shouldn't do when you're with them. Never confuse compassion with wisdom. That's the bottom line in all this. Don't confuse compassion with wisdom. But I want to do something for them. Listen, Solomon already said it. You can't do it because they don't care about you and they don't care about anybody else. Doesn't matter if you're 30, 50, 60, 80. You got to be very, very careful here. But I love that person. I love these people. I care about these people. Here's where God's will is for you concerning that. Jesus modeled over and over and over again. The best thing you can do for a person you love, best thing you can do is have compassion on them, but stay on your side of the guardrail and you let them do what they're doing. You're not going to get them on your side of the guardrail. You're not. If you ever had it in your mind that you were, you're not. The reason you have a guardrail is because you don't get pulled over too. We used to say it like this all the time to teenagers. If your friend is having you have to be, he's pulling you down, you need to let go. You need to let go. Because if you can't pull them up to where Jesus is and where Jesus is thinking in their life, you need to let that go. So many teens, so many adults are getting pulled down today in their friendships. Do not confuse compassion with wisdom. As soon as this message is over in about 2 minutes, you're going to walk out that door and you're going to walk right back into a world that's going to question everything I just said. I don't want anybody coming back to this room a year from now and going, you know, I wish I would have put some guardrails up in my friendships because my son's no longer here. My daughter's no longer with us. Man, I wish I'd have had that guardrail. I wish I would have checked who my kids' friends were. I wish I would have said no, whether I didn't want to be the great parent or not. I wish I would have said no. God said this to the smartest guy in the Bible. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools eventually suffers some kind of harm. Let's pray. Ben, would you come? Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Solomon. Even though he's an Old Testament guy, God, man, he is so relevant for today. Because it is so easy to hang out with fools. And God, sometimes we're fools. We're foolish. So God, would you help us to establish guardrails in our friendships? Friendships that are going to keep us from going over the cliff where you've got us. You've got plans for us, God, and we don't want to derail those. We don't want to, we want to get in step with what you want us to do. God, we love you. Just do a work these next minutes as we as we call this our ministry time, God, minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my question to you as the band's getting ready to sing, go ahead and you can start, guys, is will you do what you know you need to do with what you just heard? No matter what age you are, you need to put some guardrails in your life. And you need to do it in your friendships. You say, well, that's a funny place to start. I'm telling you, it's where everything goes. It's where people in our lives take us directions. People in our lives, we give our time, we give our money, we give our attention to. God wants to do something through you really special. And the only way he's going to do it is if you're the person that's on this side of the guardrail. Yes, those people on that side of the guardrail, they need you. They need Jesus. But not if you've fallen over too. Yeah? Let's see what God does. Walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. Amen. Amen. Let's do a real quick checkup. Diane, how's your daughter-in-law doing? Haven't heard?